there were throughout history groups that could not accept this authority. And this legal tradition, the non-acceptance of this legal tradition, caused them to be marginalized, and ultimately they found themselves beyond the pale of organized Jewish life. The most noted example of such a process was one that we've already alluded to, the Karaite schism. These were people who could not accept rabbinic authority and ultimately found themselves on the outside. Even before that, the Sadducees of the Second Temple period denied the existence of an oral tradition, and they too left no traces of any continued existence in post-Temple Judaism. Although using the Dead Sea Scrolls, we know today that Sadducean tradition was once embraced by at least certain elements of the Jewish community. In fact, we found very, very recently one of the Dead Sea Scrolls. It had been found some years before, but had never been published until a few years ago, where the sectarians of the Dead Sea write a letter to the leaders of the Jewish community in Jerusalem, telling them, on legal matters, we claim that it should be done thus, although we know that you think otherwise, and we really think you should come around and do it like we say. What is fascinating is that the presentation of the Jerusalem halakha, as it were, in these Dead Sea Scrolls is very, very close to subsequent rabbinic tradition. And it raises the question, was there a semi-normative tradition, a centrally embraced one, and then alternative traditions? And the Dead Sea Scrolls have been studied so carefully because they are one of the earliest sources that we have for an outside view of the development of halakha, that is to say, how other Jews in the community relate to the development of the legal codes and the legal processes. The 18th century Enlightenment movement among Jews, it is known in Hebrew as Haskalah, a direct translation of enlightenment, introduced Jewish society for the first time, beginning in Europe and then elsewhere, or beginning in Germany rather, and then elsewhere in Europe. It introduced Jews to the new ideas of a modern secular world into which Jews might enter for the first time. And many participants of the Haskalah movement considered themselves to be spiritual descendants of Maimonides. They also considered themselves to be intellectuals, to be philosophers, also trying to reconcile between two cultural environments. And they thought, just as Maimonides in his day had to reconcile between a uniquely Judaic approach to things and a faith-oriented Jewish belief and a philosophical belief, they too, the Maskilim thought, have to reconcile between what? An internal Jewish life and a relationship to a modern Western world. And a modern Western world that has opened up its gates to Jews. And this was the first time where halakha found itself challenged by an outside force. And the challenge would have tremendous ramifications in subsequent Jewish history. In Germany, this process led in the 19th century to the appearance of Reform Judaism, which also strove to facilitate a maintenance of Jewish identity while at the same time accepting many of the behavioral norms of a general society. And adherence to halakha as the standard for Jewish behavior would now be questioned for the first time. Because early Reform believed that this halakha is far too particularistic. It causes barriers, it creates barriers between Jews and non-Jews, thereby undermining the mission of the Jews to be a light unto the nations. Not only that, modern biblical scholarship also took its toll on the attitude towards halakha. Questions surrounding the authorship of the Torah, in other words, is this really divinely dictated to Moses? These questions had a direct influence on how some Jews now understood the divine authority of halakha, which had always looked to the Bible as its ultimate source. And for the first time, people could ask, was this book, the Torah, really the word of God? And if even slight questions can be posed as to the authorship of this book, what does that say about the imperative of halakha today? Are we literally bound, divinely bound, to keep all of these laws?